I'm pretty sure my kids are captivated by Fortnite. Here's how our nightly conversations usually go. Open the door. Hey, Trayson, it's bedtime. Dad, hold on. I'll be up in a minute. 10 minutes later. Trayson, it's the same dad again. Get off Fortnite. I'll be up in a minute, Dad. Oh, my gosh. Now you're like, you have control of that. You're right, but I don't. Anyways. 10 minutes later. Trayson, I started a new game. So Trayson is literally captivated by Fortnite. Kind of fun example. But my question to you is, are you captivated by Jesus? Some of you in here today don't know Jesus. Like, it's just, I hope there's people in here that doesn't know Jesus, or we're not doing our jobs as Christians. Let's just be real, right? I hope there's someone here today that doesn't believe in God. I hope there's an atheist in here today. You're welcome here. I'm glad that you're here, if that's you. I hope there's people in here today that are struggling in their faith. Not that I want you to struggle in your faith, but you need to be in a church that cares about you. You need to be under teaching that helps you and guides you and redirects you back to the gospel. So captivated means to attract and hold the interest of attention. The person is deeply interested and drawn to what they are captivated by, finding it incredibly compelling. So, okay, you guys can't see it that well. But a few years ago, I'm kind of giving you a backstory, but I started a Bible study at my house in St. Louis, Missouri area. And I literally put this ridiculous sign with my horrible handwriting out front. It's kind of hard to see. Just put it in the thing and said, hopefully people show up. The Lord had told me to do this like 2 years before, but I was scared. Have you ever been scared to do something God tells you? It's like, nah, I don't know enough. They're going to ask me questions. I'm not going to know. So I put this sign in my yard, and it just literally says, Tuesday, 6:30 Bible study, adults. It's like, I forgot to put adults, so I had to go back and put it on there. You're invited. To the point that I had people thinking I was some weirdo trying to get people to my house for awkward reasons. I was like, that's not me. I'm sorry that I don't have good handwriting. I ended up updating the sign later. But anyways, people started coming to this Bible study. No kids were there because the kids were with their mom that night. They started coming to this. They started growing. And then this woman shows up. I'll give you kind of pretext. My friend Rochelle said, hey, I'm bringing a single mom. When you're a single dad, you kind of listen to those words. You know, not that I was doing this to meet a woman, but I was like, okay, she can come. She can sit right here beside me. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that, but I thought about it. Just didn't voice it. Okay, anyways. So this woman comes along with a lot of other people, and we're just studying the Word of God. I'm just getting out of my comfort zone, doing what I know God called me to do. And then I, you know, as I'm learning about the Bible, getting to know each other, every Tuesday night we're kind of hanging out. It's date night, but she doesn't know it yet. She didn't know that until later. But we're married now. That's Allison. Yeah. Yeah, you can clap for that. I'm not sure if she's watching live. I'm not even sure if I'm in front of this. Sorry, camera. I'm not sure if I keep leaving you, but I'm here. Sorry about that. We didn't rehearse any of this, as you can tell. They're not going to invite me back at all, so that's okay because flights are expensive to get here. All right. So we met. She pursued me, you know, normally. That's not true. I pursued her, and we met. We've been married, and we married for 3 months. We now have a blended family, and it's awesome. And so I say that because I became captivated to this girl. I became fascinated with her, like, oh, you know, not only was she a single mom, but now if she could be a single mom that could be part of the single dad's life. But now we're both not single parents because we're both filling the gaps that we both didn't have. We live in St. Charles, Missouri, bought a new house together. Is there any blended families in here? Raise your hand. Okay, if we can have a counseling session after this for us, that'd be fantastic. It's one thing, but so like I said, why is it important to be captivated by Christ? You might be thinking, well, I'm a Christian, training. I committed my life to the Lord a long time ago. I accepted the free gift of salvation. Why does it matter if I'm captivated by Christ? Well, let me ask you this. Don't you want to know more? Don't you want to learn everything you can about the one that created you? Has made a plan for you, died, and given his life for you? Wouldn't you want to spend time with that person? Love the things they love, serve the people they serve, tell the people that don't know him about how great he is. Don't you want to experience everything that God has for you? So today, hey, I love kids. I can sit here, I don't mind. But mine might cry too. But anyways, today I want to paint a picture for you of what happens when we find ourselves captivated when we find Christ captivating and are truly captivated by him. First thing is this. When we're captured by Jesus, not just, yeah, when we're captivated by Jesus, we focus on what matters most. The Bible says, do not, we got some different letters, okay. Not, things don't always transfer over when you give them to them, so sorry about the letters, but do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust, or moths and vermin, but it should be rust, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin or rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't like rust. You guys like rust? I don't like rust. I bought a Blackstone grill. I decided anything that has ill in it, I'm not good at. Grilling, billing, taking my pills, and I'm just not good at those things for some reason. And I got this thinking Blackstone grill, and who has a Blackstone grill? Anyone have those? Does yours get rust all the time with the lid on? Explain that to me. I put my lid on all the time, and it still gets rust. It just still just gets rust because this is a temporary object. This is not going to go to heaven with me. It's one of those objects. It's not bad to have a grill, not bad to have a Blackstone. But he says, focus on what matters most, investing in people's lives. So we focus on what matters most. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Did you know, Christians, this is the Christians, did you know that there are rewards in heaven waiting for you? Your first reward is Jesus and the fact that we get to go to heaven. That's the first. Second, there are rewards in heaven. So the work that we're doing is not in vain. The second thing that happens when we are captivated by Christ is we don't believe the lies. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I appeal to you, or I beg you to believe, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the bodies, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So let's break this down for a second. So we got the word conformed. Sometimes I read scripture or I read anything, and I'm like, I don't know what that's talking about. I just keep reading. Let's break it down a little bit and apply it to our lives. So do not be conformed. Conform refers to assuming an outward expression that does not reflect what is really inside. It's a kind of masquerade or kind of an act. The world, we hear the world, you probably hear the world, God so loved the world. The world is translated the age, which refers to a system of beliefs, values of the spiritual, I'm sorry, of the spirit of the age or any time in the current world. Transformed connotes to a change in outward appearance. Renewing of your mind, this kind of transformation can only take place when the Holy Spirit indwells you. There is literally no good work that you're going to do that is going to make you more like Jesus. It's only the Holy Spirit inside you that is going to change you. I'm going to tell you a story. I like to be transparent with almost anything I do. Some probably TMI sometimes, but oh well. Going through divorce, some of you guys, Michael, I should raise your hand. You've been through it. You've been hurt by your spouse. You've been hurt by someone. I found myself in situations, not found myself, I put myself in situations where I was chasing after worldly pleasures, worldly lusts, in the midst of being a Christian, like within 5 years. And the thing is, when you chase after those things, they will show up. They will show up, and you can't blame God, because we asked for them, and I asked for them, and they show up in my life. And I found myself going down this path of just like, putting this act on, because inside is not what I believe. I didn't want those things. If the Holy Spirit is living inside of me, there's no way that I wanted these things. I'm not going to go through them, but things that were worldly. So I was putting on this act, trying to fill this temporary hurt that I had going on, looking for temporary pleasure, and it showed up. And it showed up in different instances. And then I decided to stop start doing what God asked me to do, start a Bible study. And because of the Bible study, I put myself in a situation where I'm serving other people. I'm learning about God. And literally, I keep saying it's my Bible study, but the Bible study that God started in my living room saved, pulled me out of this mess that I was getting myself in that not a lot of people even know about. So I'm really just being transparent with you. So I understand it's hard to not be conformed to the world, but the Bible says, I appeal to you, like I beg you, don't conform to the world. Are you going to always fit in? You're not. I work in sales. I've been there 9 years now. I got a lot of guys and girls that I love, and they're awesome, but we don't get along all the time. We don't believe the same things. They think I'm crazy. Maybe I am, but I'm crazy about Jesus. I'm trying to be captivated by him. Sorry, I keep looking out and seeing a lot of faces I haven't seen in forever, so if I'm looking at you, yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm excited that you're here. My bad. It's just crazy to look out and go, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of people I haven't seen. It's funny, when you're preparing a sermon, you have no idea how long it's going to be. It could be an hour and a half. It could be 18 minutes. So I'm sorry in advance if this thing ends in 5 minutes. Just kidding. So we're captivated by Jesus. You focus on what matters most. You don't believe the lies, and you produce good fruit. I like fruit. I like apples. Is this weird in the mic? Oh, well. Sorry in advance. Oh, gosh. I didn't plan this out. I'm going to chew it up now. Shoot. I didn't want to take a bite and put it back on the podium. But I like fruit. And some fruits. What are some nasty fruits? Just yell them out. You don't got to just. What? What did you say? Someone say a sock? Squash. Is squash a fruit? Okay, sorry, we're gonna stop now because I think squash is a vegetable, so we're just gonna stop now because clearly we can agree on what a vegetable and a fruit is. So we're just gonna stop. I was over in Thailand a few years ago, and they had this fruit called durian. You ever heard of durian? That's okay if you haven't, just don't even try to look at it. But it was disgusting. I mean, I think the fruit was good, but the smell was so bad you couldn't even bring it back to America, or just a side note. But you produce good fruit. And I didn't write this down because I was. My bad, but there's a verse in Galatians that says the Holy Spirit will produce good fruit in us. You're like, I'm not a tree. I know you're not a tree. But when you become a Christian, those of you that are followers of Jesus, if you are super impatient, if you are angry all the time, if you don't love people, you are not producing good fruit. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying that. But you're not producing the fruit that God has for you. So the fruit that God can produce in you is this, love, a deep, selfless affection and care for others. Joy, a deep-seated gladness that transcends circumstances. Peace, a sense of calm and tranquility even amidst turmoil. When I went through my divorce, and anything I say is not to bash the other person, you all know who that other person is, so I'm not going to go into that, but I will say this. When I went through the divorce, it was one of the hardest times of my life. But in the midst of that, in the counseling I was going in, I was still a Christian. That didn't change. But I started to lose my joy, started to lose my peace. And then I just had this like revelation. I'm just going to blame God for giving it to me because I'm not that smart. And I want to pass this to you too because you've all been hurt by somebody. You're probably ticked off at somebody right now. I don't know who it is. You've been hurt by somebody, maybe a spouse, not a spouse. I don't know, something. Here's what I learned. Before my marriage, I had joy. Before my marriage, I had peace. My marriage and that person might have given me joy and given me peace, but just because I lost them does not mean I need to lose peace and joy. And I want to tell you, whoever has hurt you, or maybe you're hurting someone else, because you lose that person, they lose you, they don't have to lose peace and joy because it doesn't come from them. It comes from Jesus and him alone. And so when we live out, when we're captivated by Christ, we experience love, joy, peace, patience, the ability to endure suffering and provocation with grace, kindness, showing compassion and generosity towards others, goodness, moral excellence, and righteousness and character, faithfulness, being worthy, loyal, and steadfast, gentleness, being mild, tender, considerate, in interactions, self-control, expressing restraint and discipline over one's actions and desires. I hear this all the time from believers. That's just who I am. Can I say BS? No, I don't know. I'm just going to say it. Not the whole word. Come on now. It's just you're just making excuses for how you actually want to be. That's not, you're right, that might be who you were. In Christ, it's not who we are. It can't be. If he says, those who live out, you know, the Christian life, I'm going to produce these fruits of the Spirit, it's going to happen. I forgot to show this. My bad, it's kind of going back and forth. You guys remember the Kroger on Ashton Road?
Yes.
This is what happens to preachers sometimes. They forget their notes. I asked for a picture of the Kroger on Ashton Road. It took me forever to find. My mama was like the queen of produce there. So this is late in the sermon. I was just supposed to be part of the good fruit thing. My bad. Anyway, so just so you know, there used to be a Kroger. That's not the kind of Kroger that's there today that I shopped at last night. I actually used to work there. Maybe not that one. I think it's that one. And we used to chase carts down. But anyways, so my bad for going back in the sermon. Last thing is this. When we're truly captivated by Christ, you don't focus on what matters. You focus on what matters most. You don't believe the lies. It's really hard not to believe lies when you're lonely. Really hard. And I know that's why I'm being transparent with you and sharing that with you. You produce good fruit, and you see your true identity. Matthew 4:18 says, and pay attention to the identity language as I read these. Matthew 4:18 says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I sent over 150 messages before I came here. I don't say that to brag on myself. I say that because I want you guys to know, you guys that were invited here, I invited you for a reason. You know who you are. I mean, everyone's obviously invited. But whether you're walking with Jesus, whether you're not, the goal was not to get you to see me. The goal was to get you to see Jesus again if you're not living for him now. Ultimately, family, friends, strangers, a goal is for a Christian, well, for Jesus, but like for us, not the goal, but like, maybe goal, is for you to be reconciled to God. Because your sin, my sin, our sin, separates us from God. And I don't ever want to stand up here, if Matthew gives me one time up here and just give you things that's going to tickle your ears, you're going to walk out here going, yay, Trayton was back, that was awesome. I want to challenge you to think deeper. Friends, if you're a Christian here today and your friends and family do not know Jesus, it should bother you. It should bother you so much that not that you're a jerk about it and you annoy people, but you actually have real conversations with people, because the reality of it is, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, hell is mentioned and heaven's mentioned, both of them. And we got to let the world know. And that's part of your identity. I listened to a devotional called Shane and Shane. They're a band. They do a devotional every single morning. It's fantastic. You can get it sent to your phone. And Shane Bernard says this. He read a tweet, and it said, why are Christians negligent, hesitant, reluctant, and even resistant to speak the gospel? And then this English guy got on there and answered. He says, because we are not truly, madly, deeply besotted with Jesus. We're not captivated by Jesus. And y'all, I'm telling you right now, me included, I need to be captivated by Jesus. Full transparency with y'all. I haven't spent a lot of time in this thing until this past week for preparing for this. That's a problem. I'm leading two boys right now, and I'm now a bonus dad for two girls and my wife. This guy right here needs to be in this thing more than any leadership, any financial book, anything out there. Husbands, you too. Non-husbands, well, women too, but we all need to be in this thing. It's living and it's breathing. How How easy is it for us to talk about things we love? I've been doing a lot of cold plunging. You guys know what cold plunging is? It's ridiculous. I don't know why I do it, but it feels cool. I just hop in a lot of cold water every single morning. You guys might have saw some of my videos last year. I broke ice this thick and hopped into it. I don't know why I do that. I will say, I was able to have fun conversations with people on Facebook that literally asked me, hey, are you going to cold plunge again? I'm like, oh, wow, you're watching. You didn't like the video. I wouldn't know. Anyway, but like, I would talk about that all the time because I loved it. I will talk about my company all the time because, one, I'm trying to make money, but we talk about things that we love. It's easy for us. We also love God, right? Let's talk about him more. Especially now. Like, I don't know if y'all watch the news at all, and I'm not going to stand up here and say when Jesus is coming back, but he is coming back. There's a lot of warning signs right now. A lot, y'all. Like, if you don't watch the news, maybe you should just try it for 5 minutes. You'll be like, okay, that's what he was talking about. A lot of warning signs right now. So how easy is it for us to talk about the things we love? When we're captivated with something, it's easy to talk about. John Stott said, the greatest single hindrance to evangelism today is the secret poverty of our own spiritual experience. The single greatest hindrance to being who we are, not what we do, it's who we are. Fishermen, ambassadors, witnesses, appeal makers, living sanctuaries. The single greatest hindrance to being who we are is having a heart that is bored with Jesus. Just let that sink in. Has my heart been bored with Jesus? Yes. And I think it's because I wasn't experiencing the true Jesus. I was experiencing the one I was putting in a box. That's why I started my Bible study, to challenge myself. My backyard party, to challenge myself, to start serving other people again, to just challenge what I was doing. It's helpful in not just knowing him or going through the motions, but tangibly experiencing him. I want to show you guys the 7 most Googled questions about Christianity. So if you're like, because sometimes I start thinking like, everyone's already heard. That is not true. We think, we're in a Christian nation. Okay, we might have started that way, but we're not going that way. 7 most Googled questions about Christianity. Does life have purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus God? Is the Bible reliable? Can I know God personally? Even if you're Christian, even if you've not been to seminary, you've not even spent a whole lot of time in the Bible, if you're one that has put your faith and your trust in Jesus alone, you have the answer to every one of these questions. Every one. But it might take you stepping out of your comfort zone to answer them. And it's not always comfortable. I got guys at work that there was one time where I didn't want it to go this route, but it happens. We got into a big argument. It was about faith. Managers got involved, and I was like, that's not the way I wanted to go to, but you know what? I'd rather that happen than not happen, you know? But what about you, person that maybe doesn't believe? Maybe you're an atheist, agnostic. Lee Strobel says this, to continue in atheism, I would need to believe that nothing produces everything, non-life produces life, randomness produces fine-tuning. Chaos produces information. Unconsciousness produces consciousness. And non-reason produces reason. Lee, who was a practicing atheist and a lawyer that went out to prove God wrong, he says, I simply didn't have that much faith. I, Trandon, from St. Charles, Missouri, or from here, but live in St. Charles, Missouri, I appeal to you, friend, to stop running. I'm talking to the non-believer now. Stop hiding. Stop being mad and say yes to Jesus. Is it easy? It's easy to, like, the act is easy, but is it easy for you to go, oh, I don't want to follow myself anymore? No, it's not. I know, I understand. But I appeal to you, whether it's today or sometime, keep thinking deeper. But don't think your way out of it, though. A lot of people are doing that. My wife and I watched this YouTube thing called The Watchman River. Anybody else watch that? Okay, well, I thought it was boring at first. I even called her on the way here. I was like, you got to be hooked on this. She goes, you said it was boring. I'm like, it was boring. And then I listened to it, and I was like, oh, it's pretty good. Anyway, so side note. this is a conversation with my wife. There is a day, so this is on the Washington River, and I listened to it this morning, my 2 mile walk, and I was like, sometimes God adds notes at the very end. You ever been a part of that? Like, you're like, okay, well, I literally wrote it down. This morning, I wrote it down. It's not even part of my notes, so hopefully I can read my writing. There is a day coming very soon, my friends, where two different groups of people will say the exact same thing at once and have two completely different futures and two completely different destinations when this happens right here. 1 Thessalonians 4, I don't have it on the screen because it wasn't planned, but that's what the Lord does. If you're mad about it, blame him. It says this. So when this happens, this is what this is talking about. I'm going to move my apple. My bad. All right. Do that later, or Matt might get it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. There are warning signs that this is going to happen. On this day, both saint and sinner will proclaim, my God, it was all true. The saint, the Christian, that's what that means, will say with exuberance, thanksgiving, and praise, knowing they will forever be with King Jesus. The sinner, the non-believer, will weep and wail with fear and trembling, with broken-hearted anguish that, or the missed salvation that their friends were trying to tell them about. First, and you're like, well, is that in the Bible? It is. Let's go ahead and go there. It's Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It says this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, the glory of God the Father. He says one day, coming very soon, there will be two groups of people that are going to say, my God, the question is, are you going to be a friend of God or a foe of God? There is no chances after death. Purgatory is not real. There is one chance on here on earth. And I appeal to you. To make a decision to follow him. And if you're a Christian and you're not and you're wavering, quit wavering, y'all. Figure out what you believe. Get back at it. Do you got to admit that you might have messed up? Yeah. It's okay. Like, we all do it. We're all human. We all fall short of the glory of God. So what comes with saying yes to Jesus? Trina, why should I say yes? Well, here, I'll tell you. Well, when we say yes to following Jesus, we get himself, a relationship with God. I'm just going to keep going, so just buckle up. Eternal life in God's presence. We get God's love, receiving love from the other, or from the one who defines love. The one who defines love, we get that love from. Woo! Access to communion with God in prayer and worship. We get citizenship in the kingdom of God. We get forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future. We get grace, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Holy Spirit, God dwelling inside of us. Change of identity, dead to alive, orphan to adopted. Victory over sin here and now. Peace and rest in trial. Unity and oneness with the bride of Christ. A new family. Sanctification, ongoing growth. Spiritual gifts. I gotta slow down, I'm getting tired. Clarity of purpose. Submission to God's design and direction. Becoming a steward of time and resources not our own. Releasing friendship with the world. Denial to self. Taking up our cross daily. Transfer of enemies. Our enemy is no longer God, our enemy is now Satan. And the last thing is, which is hard to understand, there's persecution. I will never stand in front of any group and say, become a Christian because it's all going to be okay. You will have a peace that you don't understand in the midst of hard times. You will have a joy. It doesn't make any sense to have joy right now. But there will be persecution. Jesus says, hey, they hated me. They're probably going to hate you too. So buckle up, y'all. Matthew, before that, I'd like to play a song. Is that on here, guys? I don't know. They told me. They're mad at me for saying this. But there's a song I like to play as we kind of start closing. It's called, I forget what it's called. It'll be on there. I just want you to think about it, because at the end of the day, the goal is heaven. Like, before I share this, I put a meme on Facebook during, was it, the, sorry, was the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Is that who it was?
Eagles.
I didn't say who won, but who was playing? Okay, whatever. I think the Chiefs, supposedly my church back home says we're a Chiefs church. I'm a Browns fan. It's our year this year, hopefully. So, but anyways, I made a funny meme, and I photoshopped in a flag of the Chiefs on the church. I was joking. And I said, hey, it's going to be a great, I don't know, like we're Chiefs church. Chiefs are horrible. I made fun of it. Well, then one guy got on there, and I thought it was kind of goofy at first. I responded, but then I thought more about it. And he said, hey, man, I understand what you're trying to do, but I don't really think God cares about sports. I don't think God really cares who wins or loses. I think he cares more about people's souls. And I was like, phew. Jeez, I agree, but I was totally a joke. but then I started texting him and saying, hey, man, thanks for the spiritual guidance on Facebook. And I was totally being sarcastic. But then he started talking. He's like, man, I get what you're saying, but like, I think when you do these things, you just confuse people. And he goes, my goal, I don't even really know what he fully believes, but he goes, my goal in my destination of life now is to make sure my wife and I get to heaven. Now, there's a way to know that. But Trandon Grosskopf, standing here, 41 years old, working in ADT sales, that gets the opportunity to stand in front of people, some of you know, some of you doesn't. My mission today is for you to know that you can go to heaven when you pass away one day, which you will. You can know for sure. And it's not about just, now, I want you to come to church, but it's not about just becoming Christian so you can come and fill a spot here at Mission Point. It's so that you can fill a spot in heaven. Because God has a spot for you, but it's a free gift, y'all. I've got a lot of gifts before. But if the gift just sits on the table at my house, it's my gift. But it just sits at the table, I never open it. Have I really accepted it? Not really. There's a free gift of salvation waiting on you. There's a free gift to you, Christian, to grow deeper in the Lord. But if you're just going to let it sit there, it's just going to sit there.